Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Daily Mishnah Shir. We're holding Maseches Vava Kamma. Almost done. We're in Perek Yud. So first, we're going to chaz over the three Mishnahs we did yesterday, which started with Mishnah Aleph in Perek Yud. Said, "Nagozo Machol Isbano, if one who steals and feeds what he stole to his children, v'yaniach lifneihem, or he left them the stolen item, and then the children have them, and the father died. Let's say the thief died. B'turin l'vashalim, they don't have to pay." In any event, if the item is no longer intact, they don't have to pay it of their own other Yerusha or their own money. They don't have to pay. If for their father left them as Yerusha, they had something, they had land, the father would have to pay up from that anyway. And even if the item is eaten up, is not intact, they do have to pay from that. The Rav goes through that nowadays a certain halacha comes out. In any event, one who steals and feeds it to his children, doesn't matter if it's before or after Yeush, it doesn't matter if the item is intact or not, they do have to pay. Because nowadays, metatlan are meshubad to a baal chov. You can't make change out of the box of tax collectors. They're assumed to be gazlanim, and not of gabayim, which are people who collect for the king. They collect taxes also. And you shouldn't take tzedakah from them, because it, again, will be assumed to be stolen funds. You could take from the tax collector's house or from the shuk. He has something in the shuk. He owns an item over there, not from the actual box of tax collector's items, so it doesn't have a chazaka of being stolen. The tax collectors took his donkey by force, and they gave him a different one. So they stole his clothing, and he gave him other ones. So those other clothings, you should assume, are stolen. So, you can keep them, though. The Baal and the original owners and those items that they gave this person are assumed that they already gave up hope on them, and therefore you can keep them. And the reason it's assumed is because we're talking here where the Jewish courts would handle the matter, and because it's hard to get money in a Jewish court, you have to bring Edom, you have to bring Araya, so the person, when he hears that his item's been stolen, he gave up on it already. The next case is going to be where a goyish court would handle it. Hamatzu min ha-nahar, one who saves an item from a river, or min ha-gayis, or from the army, or min ha-listim, or other, or from thieves. In the sasha ba'alim, only if you heard that the ba'alim gave up on that item, har ela shalo, they can keep it. And if not, not. So again, that's the chilek, that would be where the goyish court would handle it, and they judge things kind of as they see it without an official system. So the victim of theft doesn't give up on his item so quickly. So to a beehive, if the Baalim has given up on it, you can keep the beehive. A woman or a child is believed, even though they can't generally give testimony, they're believed to say that the beehive came out over there in that yard. You can walk through a friend's field, anybody else's field, to save your beehive. And if you damage them, you should pay what you damaged. You can't cut a branch off someone's tree on condition to pay it up, because they're not allowed to inflict hezek like that. He says, no, you can even cut it off and pay the money. That's fine. One who recognizes his items, his kalim or his books in the hand of another person. Now, the person he sees it by doesn't think that person's a thief, but he knows that the item was stolen, so he assumes that the person has now bought it from the thief, right? It's known that this item has been stolen. People know about it. The current owner swears how much he paid, right? He's a lokeach. He bought it from whoever the real thief was. And he takes that amount from the original owner, he pays him, and then he takes his item back. He doesn't get it for free. If not, if there is no reputation about this item that had been stolen, so he doesn't have such a power to demand the item back and be able to pay for it. I'll just say that it's not true that it was stolen. There's no rumor as such. He sold it to another person, and then the current owner bought it from that person who says it can never happen. Okay, now we're going to go weiter. Mishnah Dal. Zeba b'chavisa shel yayin. One person is walking with his barrel full of wine. Zeba b'chadar shel devash. One has a jug full of honey. The jug full of honey got a crack in it, so the honey starts leaking out. It's gonna all go to waste. So the other guy, the nice guy, threw out his wine, dumped his wine out. He tells the vash to socho and able to save his friend's honey into his kli. He doesn't get paid back for his wine that he lost. He gets schar, which would mean we're gonna see the usage of his vessel and tircha, the effort that he put in to save the honey. But if he says, I'm going to save your honey, I'm going to save yours, and you have to give me the value of mine, I mean the wine, chayv litino, then he'll have to give him. We'll see what the chiddush is, why that would be in the Rav. That's a similar case, and the Rav will tell us what's the chiddush here in this case. Shataf nar chamor v'chamor chaveru. A river overflowed and washed away his donkey and his friend's donkey. Shelo yafa ma'im, it's washing it away. It's in the process. Shelo yafa ma'im, his is worth 100 zuz. V'shal chaveru ma'im, and his friend 200. Hiniach ze'a shelo, he left his, he let the river wash away his donkey. V'hitil shal chaveru, he saved his friend's donkey. Ein lo el eschara, again, he only gets schar, whatever would be paid for someone to save a donkey. But if he said, I'll save yours and you'll give me back mine, you'll pay me back for my loss, I believe to know he would have to give it to him. So again, we'll see what the chiddush is right now in the Rav. So Rav says, in the case of the ratio with the wine and the honey, he only gets skar. Skar kli, that's a skar of the use of the vessel, uskar pu'ula, and of the actions of saving the honey. Now, the seifa case, shataf nar chamoro, right? The river is overflowing and is knocking out the donkeys. Sricha, so right now the Rav goes straight to it, spelling out what is the need of the two cases. Sricha lemisni trei bavi demasis. You need to teach both cases of the Mishnah. Ditana resha, if you taught the first case with the wine and the honey, havamina ahasim hu dichi parish yoivle demekula. Over there, that's when if he would explain out, he says a condition, stipulates, I'm going to save yours, you have to pay me back for mine. They're going to pay him, b'shem to be a dime kapasli, because he actively, with his hands, threw away his wine in order to save his friend's honey. So he should get paid back for that active loss that he had to cause himself. Sheshavech hasino be a dime mishvilo. He poured out his wine for his friend. Aval seifa d'vemela, in the seifa, there's no be a dime action that he destroyed one donkey to save another. It was happening. I mean, the river is flowing. It's going to destroy. It's going to wipe away both donkeys. He didn't actively get rid of his. Ema ein lo el schar. I might say that even when he makes a condition, the condition doesn't help you. Only get the schar. Really, you could say that what would have happened? The water would have washed away both donkeys. So very nice that you got involved to save mine. I'm just going to pay you for that action. I'm not going to, even if you made a condition. That's what I'm considering. I'm going to pay you back just for the actions that you did. Be'ashman and seifa. If you only told the seifa with the donkeys, hakuhu de mistama ein lo. Over there, that's where Stam, without a condition, he doesn't get any money. He doesn't get any money more than the work put in to save the donkey. Aliskaro, Mishum de Mamela, because again, it was something that didn't happen a dime. It happened Mamela. It happened as just a consequence of the river. Avalhasim to be a dime, maybe in the first case where he did it actively. Ema filibistam, maybe I'd say even when it's Stam and there was no verbal stipulation, Yoyev late to make kula, he should pay for it entirely. Srichos, you need both cases. I had a question I didn't find anyone speak about in this Mishnah. That why in the Seifa case with the two donkeys, does it mention the value of the donkeys? The Mishnah does not go on to elaborate that those numbers play a role at all. In any event, the donkey gets wiped away. If he stipulated, he'll get paid for the donkey. And if not, not, he'll only get paid for the effort. So what is the point? So I thought to suggest perhaps, but I didn't see anyone say it. And maybe there's a certain Havamina in the Seifa that because he was saving what was worth more, he knows it's worth more. So he was thinking, why am I saving it? I want to get back some of the money that I'm saving. I mean, I'm saving this because I know I'm saving a more worthful item, item worth more. So I'd be able to get paid back something from the other guy. We'll sell the item, we'll split it, something like that. So maybe, therefore, you would say is more of a tzad that he should get paid more than the effort. And Kamashwa on the mission, it's the same chiluk as everything else. Perhaps, I didn't see anyone speak about the question, but still the question, if anyone finds out, happy to hear. Says Mishnah, hey, one who steals a field from his friend, say Reuven stole from Shimon, and then misikin, which are thieves, some say sent by the government, but at least thieves that force theft to happen, they take the field. Now, a field, we should note, is never really stolen. You can't move land. It's always in the reshuts of the original owner, but someone has control over it, right? So one who stole it and he gained control, now it was stolen from him. In makas medini, if it's a makas medini, which means it's a public problem. There's a kingdom going around taking everybody's fields, taking ownership of it, taking control. So it's happening to everyone. Omer lo, harei shechol lefanecha. He says, take your field and say, I'm not going to pay anything because even if I hadn't stole it, Reuven hadn't stole Shimon's field, the government would have taken it anyway. So he gives it, just give it back to him, no penalty. Mimachmas ha-gazlin, but if it happened because of the gazlin, let's say, who did they take it from? They looked for thieves to steal from. The government sent people. So it's because he stole it. He'd have to give him now a new field. That field I was saying by the government cannot be contested successfully, so he has to give him a new field. If the river, again, body of water overflowed into many fields, into his field, and it overflowed into many fields, because it wouldn't just be one, So also, Omer le'Yosha ha'reishal chalef anachai. He says to him, take it back, because the river would have destroyed every field, would have destroyed this field, whether I stole it or not, the thief can say. So, it's not really a matter of it destroying every other field, but it would have gotten to this field in any event. And so, Mamela, he says, you can take your field back and keep it the way it is. Mishnah Vav, a gozav kavero shalava himanu, or shehivki lo, one who stole from his friend, or he borrowed from him, or he was mafkid an item, he deposited an item to him. Okay, so the friend has either the person has either a stolen item, or he has money that he borrowed, or he has a pikadon that was given to him, be yishuv, and either of these things happened all in a city, in a inhabited, normal, civilized place. Lo yachzei lo b'midbar. It's not allowed to give him back the item in the midbar, meaning the gazlan has a mitzvah to give back the item. Obviously, the lova has a mitzvah to pay it back, and the guy with the pikadon, he was really doing a mitzvah by watching it, he would like to give it back. He's not allowed to give it back and give the achrayas that he has for any of these things in the midbar if it was given to him originally in the yishuv. But amanas l'tzeis b'midbar, if when it was given it was on condition that we're going to go out to the desert, yachzei lo b'midbar. He's allowed then to give it back to him in the desert, in the wilderness. So the Rav says, Amanas v'teitz v'midbar, in that last case, lo sh'yom ala b'feirush amanas v'teitz v'midbar v'tifreini. It's not if he said to him explicitly, this is amanas, you're going to come out to the midbar and pay me back, or give the item back, the hamilsa d'pshitahi, that's obvious. El kigon sh'amar lo chaver lehavi hai pikadun gavach, the friend said, this pikadun should be by you, da'ana la midbar nefkina, because I have to go out to the midbar, and I want you to keep this here. The other guy said, I also need to go out there, you know, soon, sometime. So in that case, he's allowed to return him back over there. Meaning, he knows the guy is going, so it's kind of a chiddush that because it was understood from both of them, they're both going to be in the midbar, it's also understood that he's able to receive the item there in the midbar. Okay, that's it for today. Next time, we'll have to finish the last four Mishnayos.